making some financial fixes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Consumer prices still pretty low. The cost of letting the financial system break again, oh, so high. It's the morning open and the question of the moment, where's Wall Street? Wall Street's pretty much flat right now. The S&P is down about 2 points, 0.2%. NASDAQ up, the Dow is pretty much, as I mentioned, flat. Over in Europe, shares are lower across the board, about 1%. Asian markets closed, mostly lower today overseas. Today we learned U.S. consumer prices were up very slightly for May. That's despite the cost for gas. And year over year, it was actually the biggest drop, 1.3%, since 1950. Bill Stone is chief investment strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He joins us live this morning from Philly. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
I want to talk to you about these inflation fears. You know, we get these reports that seem to tell us everything's still pretty cheap. What about these fears that we keep hearing?
Yeah, and I think the fears are for the future in the sense that we know money supply is expanding, the Fed and the government's been doing a lot of spending and planning to keep spending. But certainly, at least this report so far shows it hasn't really fed in there. You've seen some rise in gasoline prices, some energy prices, but as you noted, really tame numbers across the board. Other than that, whether you talk about food, apparel, household goods, a lot of them showed declines for the month.
Yeah, 0.1% was the gain for May, right?
So, exactly.
So not much there. I want you to hang on a moment, Bill, because we're expecting to hear from President Obama about the administration's plans for fixing the financial system, a regulation overhaul, as it were. And Marketplace's Steve Henn is with us right now as well. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
What are some of the main points the government wants to tackle as it pertains to these federal regulations?
Well, I think one of the main things they want to do is to get financial institutions of all stripes to reduce their leverage in the long run and have more capital. It's kind of like asking banks and insurance companies to put up 20% down on their new house instead of 5. And the idea here is that if things get ugly in the future, they'll be in better shape to weather the storm. They're also going to do other things like requiring firms that create mortgage-backed securities to actually invest some of their own money in those assets, so they'll be less likely to bundle up bad mortgages and sell off toxic junk.
Mm. Yeah, and what kind of opposition are we seeing from Republicans?
Well, Republicans are pushing back against another idea the president's talking about, and that's creating a new consumer protection agency that would make sure mortgages and credit cards are transparent and fair and affordable to folks that get them. They say they're worried that a new regulator might stifle innovation and make it harder for Americans with checkered credit to get loans.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Washington. Steve, thanks.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Of course, the latest on this story on Marketplace later today. Bill Stone, back with you. What's making the financial industry grimace the most about these new regulations being proposed?
Well, I think we really don't know exactly how it plays out. I think there's probably broad agreement that you need some new regulations around to try and deal with the systemic risk. I think the financial sector will be interested in knowing what it's going to cost and how it'll be implemented, what the structure is going to look like. So I think that, to me, is what they'll end up thinking about, is what is it going to cost? We know something needs to be done, but the other side is always, you know, what's the impact on profits and et cetera.
Lots to talk about. Bill Stone, thanks for joining us from Philadelphia this morning. We do appreciate it. We learned today Goldman Sachs is ready to pay back $10 billion that the government invested as part of the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP. FedEx today reported a large fourth quarter loss, mainly due to some charges at a couple of company units hit by the recession. We also got word that a congressional panel is inviting Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke to testify a week from tomorrow about allegations by Bank of America CEO Kenneth Lewis that government officials pressed him to buy Merrill Lynch after Lewis became aware of major losses at Merrill. Listening to the Morning Report for Wednesday, June 17th, 2009 at marketplace.org. China just imposed a buy Chinese policy on its economic stimulus package. The move, though, is provoking an angry response from an EU business group. From London, here's Stephen Beard.
The Chinese government has ruled that its stimulus projects must use Chinese goods and services. Beijing wants to promote the domestic economy as demand for its exports has declined. But the European Union Chamber of Commerce says that sends the wrong signal and is inconsistent. Only a few months ago, Beijing described a proposed Buy American clause in the US as poison. Bob McKee of Independent Strategy.
Perhaps the Chinese feel that they're only doing what everybody else is doing. But if this sort of thing begins to become prevalent, not just in government procurement, but across the board, then you move into a much more protectionist environment, always a bad sign.
As a member of the World Trade Organization, China is required to treat foreign and domestic goods and services equally. But the EU or the US may not be able to make a formal complaint. Beijing hasn't signed a treaty that covers government spending. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Environmental Protection Agency is proposing a crackdown on hazardous emissions from the nation's cement plants. The agency is holding a public hearing today in Dallas, one of three nationwide. And as Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, one of the main targets is mercury.
The EPA is proposing new rules that would drastically cut mercury emissions from cement plants, up to 90% from current levels by 2013. Jim Pugh is an attorney for Earth Justice. That's a nonprofit law firm that sued the EPA over this issue more than a decade ago.
We simply can't go on having cement plants put more than 10 tons a year of mercury into our environment.
Mercury can wind up in the fish we eat and damage the nervous system, but the new EPA rules would also cap three other pollutants, including soot. Andy O'Hare is a cement industry spokesman. He says the regulations would be too stringent.
We'd hate to see a circumstance where cement manufacturers are forced to close their plants, and then we are subjected to, imported supplies of cement.
Still, a cement plant in eastern Oregon is already gearing up to install experimental technology aimed at cutting its mercury emissions 75%. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
The Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will be at the Global Financial Literacy Summit in Washington today talking about community development finance institutions. They work in low-income and minority communities where major banks aren't such major players. Tamara Keith tells us more about those.
CDFIs are like banks with a do-gooder mission. They lend money to low-income people. They finance affordable housing projects and small businesses. They take risks that banks don't, to the tune of $5 billion a year. And in this financial climate, demand for their services is up. That's according to a new report from the Opportunity Finance Network. Mark Pinsky is the network's president.
One of the things we're seeing is small businesses who no longer have access to lines of credit that they had recently.
It's great to feel needed, but Pinsky says community development finance institutions can't lend to everyone who needs help.
Our capital is stable. Liquidity is down, meaning that we can't get enough new capital coming in to meet the growing demand.
The institutions will be getting some new capital soon, $100 million from the stimulus package. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
The Lakers brought home yet another title to Los Angeles. You know what else they brought home? Quite the quandary. How to celebrate a great bunch of players and a huge NBA win when the city's fortunes don't exactly match that of the basketball team. It's been a bit of a financial shell game, as Rico Galliano reports.
When the LA Lakers won the NBA championship on Sunday, Angelenos were ecstatic. But when locals learned the city planned to foot half of the nearly $2 million bill for today's victory parade, that didn't go down so well. Matt Jabo is press secretary for L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
In years past, the city would have paid for it, but these are unprecedented financial times. We're facing massive deficits, layoffs, etc.
Unions were especially irritated L.A. might blow cash on a parade while city workers are taking pay cuts. So for the last few days, City Hall tried to figure out how to hold the parade without having to pony up for it. Yesterday, L.A. announced a group of private donors will pick up the tab.
The private funds will go towards the approximately $900,000 in city resources, police, fire, and the street services.
By the way, on Monday, Pittsburgh threw a parade for its new champions, the Penguins hockey team. Public funds paid for the whole shebang. Now, back in November, some Pittsburghers protested the expense of a similar celebration for their Super Bowl-winning Steelers. But not this time. Apparently, you get used to it. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Agriculture may seem relatively recession-proof, relatively. After all, people do have to eat. But economic trends have been reshaping the agriculture industry, and many farm laborers are getting squeezed. In the Deep South, low-income workers are at risk of sliding farther into poverty. From the Mississippi Delta, here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
For generations, African Americans in the South eked out a living by picking cotton. It was back-breaking work for very little money, and it became a common theme in blues songs.
Oh, when them cotton bolls get rotten, you couldn't pick very much cotton in them old cotton fields at home.
Work has gotten easier on those old cotton fields, but there's less of it. Farmers are planting about half as much cotton as they did in 2006, according to the Department of Agriculture. That's bad news for Chris Moore, who lives in the poor rural town of Chula, Mississippi. The 25-year-old used to work full-time at a cotton gin.
Right about now, we'll be out there working, but now we laid off.
Moore's hours have been cut to 2 days a week. He can barely pay his bills. In surrounding Holmes County, the unemployment rate is 17%. Farmers are hiring fewer workers as they shift to less labor-intensive crops, like corn. And machines are doing much of the work that's left. Calvin Head runs the nonprofit West Holmes Community Development Corporation.
You got automation that's taking place. All the equipment it doesn't require a lot of field time like it used to. It's just put a burden on the low-income worker.
The low-income farm workers who still have jobs are essentially trapped.
It just ain't no job right here. So you have to kind of stick with what you got, whether you like it or not.
That's Danny Randall. He's been doing farm work since he was 14. He's 67 now and still puts in long days driving a tractor. But he doesn't earn extra money, even if he works extra hours.
They say you're supposed to work 8 hours. You work 10, you're going to get just regular pay. You know, you don't get no overtime.
Locals used to be able to find a job that pays overtime if they were willing to drive more than 50 miles to work at one of the auto manufacturing plants. But now, due to the economy, those firms have been laying off employees, leaving folks here even more economically isolated. In Chula, Mississippi, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Hey, hope you can join us at our website where you can share your thoughts with our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, inside the Scratchpad, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.